It's not specifically a Jewish tradition, but Jews really optimize it. And of course, in this country, when they came here in droves from Eastern Europe in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they started delis because they wanted their food. And even the full name delicatessen is, it's a great German word about, like great eating of succulent foods. And this also then became in the big cities, not just something for Jews to eat. I mean, if you go right now to Second Avenue Deli in New York and you close your eyes and just listen to everybody, they all sound like deep New Yorkers. And then you open your eyes and this guy's Asian and this guy's Black and this guy's Latino. And, it's just because, but they all love deli and that's how it is. And they order it the same way, like sort of in a Jewish style.
Hi, and welcome to week 8 of Pandemics. This week we speak with Erwin Gelman, who shares his homemade pastrami recipe that he has honed after years of understanding and immersing himself in deli culture. Erwin, welcome. Thank you for being here. So, the first question is, what is your involvement with the Buffalo Jewish community?
Oh, a lot. So right now I'm a member of the executive board of the JCC. I'm a vice president. I've been past president of the Holocaust Resource Center. I've been based on being that president, I was also on the board for a couple of years in the Jewish Federation board. I've been involved with a lot of synagogues in Buffalo and specifically Congregation Beth Abraham on 1073 Elmwood, two doors down from Pano's. That's an advertisement. So that's a synagogue, which is basically come back from the moribund, let's call it that way. And it's a wonderful little neighborhood synagogue that I'm involved with. And a lot of ecumenical stuff. I was on with my wife Mara for a Federation-sponsored ecumenical trip to Israel with lots of clergy from all over Buffalo. That was really great. So many things like that that I've been involved with a lot.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So food and Judaism are pretty interconnected. Holidays are revolved around food, and a lot of people associate different Jewish memories with different food that goes along with the holiday, or maybe just a food that somebody made really well in their family. Do you have a favorite memory of Jewish cooking? And if so,
Oh,
what is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I mean, so many of those. Exactly that there was always lots of cooking at home, lots of baking. My mother's mother, my Bubby, was a very good baker. And I just remember she and my mother, when we would visit her in Brooklyn, and they would make strudel. I mean, because after the war they were in a displaced persons camp in near Salzburg in Austria. So they learn how to make strudel and, with this sort of like phyllo dough and rolling it out. And oh my God, it was such a to do, but it was absolutely delicious. So I remember very specific foods, again, associated with holidays, things like that. Also, I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, and there was a very famous deli that I remember one short time that my father was in between jobs. He actually worked at that deli for a while, but that deli was run by a Holocaust survivor, Meyer. And then I got to work in it one summer, and I really got a tremendous appreciation for every aspect of deli. I took pride because I was very good at cutting locks from, the big piece of locks. I would cut it very, very thin. Paper thin that you could sort of see through it. Anyway, that just how it's made and the effort and the love that went into it and the taste. It was just everything about it was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great precursor to this love of making your own deli meat. And Did you find that, like, when the pandemic hit and, just going out to dinner was not a thing anymore, and we were kind of forced to be more creative in the kitchen, or at least spend more time in the kitchen. How did you find that? And did you feel like it affected what you were making and how you were making it?
Yeah, so let's put it this way. I think I was prepared for something like this. And I mean that because I had been really looking for many years to, we would go to restaurants and I would get it's not specifically a Jewish tradition, but Jews really optimize it. And of course in this country when they came here in droves from Eastern Europe in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they started delis because they wanted their food. And, even the full name delicatessen is, it's a great German word about, like great eating of succulent foods. And this also then became in the big cities, not just something for Jews to eat. I mean, if you go right now to Second Avenue Deli in New York and you close your eyes and just listen to everybody, they all sound like deep New Yorkers. And then you open your eyes and this guy's Asian and this guy's black and this guy's Latino. And, it's just because, but they all love deli and that's how it is. And they order it the same way, like sort of in a Jewish style, what they called a sourdough pickle. And I would taste it and I'm like, nah, that's not a sourdough pickle that I remember from Second Avenue Deli or Fine and Shapiro or Ben's Deli in New York City, where I was for many, I was there for almost 25 years. And so then I would try to find recipes and then, in order to make pickles, you need this massive glass jar. Where are you gonna find the glass jar? So I sort of prepared myself. And the same thing with the pastrami that we'll talk about. I got this smoker. And I was sort of experimenting with this or that in the smoker. And by the time the pandemic hit, I was ready to sort of hunker down and just make a lot of stuff, indoors. But, in our family, as you know, we do a lot of that. Maya is a major challah baker, and the first thing during the pandemic was who could find yeast? So once she got, that was the rate limiting step. Once she got yeast, then she was off to the races and making challah like crazy. So I think I did the same thing with all I have to do is find brisket. Where was their kosher brisket? So no, I would drive by on Route 90 and I would see cows by the side of the road and they were in danger. Let's put it that way.
So the dish that you are talking about today is less of a dish and more of sort of a whole process.
Process,
So yeah, so
yeah. The simplest deli would just fresh grind coriander and pepper, black pepper, and just put it all around the meat, dry rub. And then others would add in other things like, ground mustard seed, brown sugar, again, some sugar, a little bit of salt. Some people put things like paprika, even believe it or not, instant coffee, dried coffee gives a little bit of taste, and cardamom and allspice. So, you make it quite complex, and then you smoke it. Traditionally, Jewish delis would smoke with hickory. I've done both hickory and cherry wood, so I got this little smoker. It's great. It steams it and smokes it at the same time. And you cook it at a very low temperature, like 180, for the length of a day, first thing in the morning until, 8 or 10 hours later. Okay. So now you have this piece of meat, which has what they call bark on the outside, because it's just this, everything sort of seals on the outside with these spices and sugars. And, but it reduces down in size. It's a little bit dry. Not totally dry, but moist inside, but still not what you would get at a deli. So here's the trick I had to learn. If you go to a deli, they have these steam boxes. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's steaming, and you put the whole thing of meat in there, and it steams for a couple hours. That softens up everything, especially the sinewy parts. So when you would cut it on a slicer or with a knife, it comes out almost, fatty, buttery. That's the trick, and so I figured out a way to make a steamer with a big pot and a dish underneath and steam it for a while. And once you do that and you stick it on some good, the good news is that Buffalo has some great rye bread, Cohen's rye bread, and also Wegmans has a great knockoff on Cohen's. You also have to have spicy deli mustard, which is this sort of dark, rough mustard, not Grey Poupon, spicy deli mustard. And that's it. That on rye bread, right out of the steamer, cut, it's really pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing.
I'm
So,
salivating as I talk about it right
yeah,
now.
truly. You may have touched upon this when you were explaining it, but what is your favorite part about the whole process of making the pastrami?
Watching people eat it. Because when they eat it, if it's good, they're like, oh my God, this is like really, really good. And the same thing with, I've been making dill pickles now for a couple of years, and when they take, they're, yeah, sure, you made dill pickles, and they go, they cut it, I give them a piece, and I'm like, this is good. So that, it's not my recipe, it's a Second Avenue Deli recipe, but it's part of the love and the effort that goes into it. And I think that's the Hasidim have a concept of, you could do a mitzvah, you could do a good deed, but then if you do it extra, you put a lot more effort into it, it becomes beautiful. Like on Sukkot, when you have a lulav and an etrog, if you spend this extra time looking for that beautiful, beautiful etrog, it makes the mitzvah, the holiday, and the commandment of saying the blessing over the lulav and etrog even better. And there's just so many aspects of that in Judaism where you just it's sort of it's as if your kiddush cup is overflowing with wine. That's so seeing people eat that, you see how the tradition and the ancestry put so much love and effort into it, and then we benefit from the enjoyment of tasting it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like just sharing a meal that you make for somebody and that you're proud of and seeing them enjoy it. The process of making the pastrami seems it's very intensive. If somebody, is there an amateur version of doing this, or is it kind of one t like you have to do it the full extent that you're explaining it?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say this is something like brain surgery. You can't cut corners. And if you want to get it the right taste, and the right texture and all these other things, you've got to go through the whole process. And that's why delis have been going out of business, not because no one likes them. People love good delis, but the process is just really labor intensive. And but I think unfortunately you gotta there's the only way to cut corners is to actually go to the deli and buy it.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. From the moment that you buy the brisket initially that's going to become the pastrami to the moment that somebody is about to eat it, it's on their plate, along the process.
Yeah, so 5 days to brine it, a solid day to smoke it, and then you wouldn't be able to serve it to the next day, because you have to steam it the next day for probably a couple hours, and then serve it. So it is minimally a 7 day process.
Wow, that is totally a different type of time commitment when it comes to making a meal. Well, those are all the questions that I have for you. Again, thank you so much. This was so cool. I hope I get to try the pastrami one day.
All right.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you didn't get a chance to say that you want to share?
No, I think I got it all. That was great. Thank you so much. And thank you for hosting this. These are great. And I hope this will get more people, getting out there and trying to think about food that they grew up with or that they knew about. And they can't find it anymore, or at least the stuff that really tastes the way they remembered it. And maybe you just to bring it back, resurrect making some of it. And it may take a little experimentation, but you'll eventually get it. And that's how, this is part of our tradition, which happens to be sort of Eastern European Jewish for the most part. And maybe you could even pick up a tradition that's not, something you grew up with, but it's something else, and it's another ethnic food. You'll appreciate it, your family will, and your friends will for sure.
Erwin, thank you so much again for your time and for sharing such a wonderful and truly inspiring quarantine food. For everyone listening, thank you so much. That's all for this week's edition of Pandemics.